Radio, folks. The 17th day of July 2016, going into the 18th day of July 2016. I'll be with you guys for the next 3 hours. And, you know, I felt all day, the last few days, but, you know, with the events that happened over the day or whatever you want to call these things that, keep hitting us, you know, it really puts you in a weird place because you're seeing the very things unfold that you've been speaking on for, you know, the last number of weeks and months and years, and it's playing out. And whether we like it or not, whether we think it's fake or not, unfortunately, the zombie class out here is buying into it hook, line, and sinker for the most part. I'm supposed to have a guest on, but we're having trouble with a connection. So hopefully we can get that squared away. Want to say hello to all the listeners in Australia on 107.9. And thanks for Sean over at Renegade for broadcasting the show every week down there and down under. So welcome, all you guys. I know you all are watching what's happening here and around the world. It's a very crazy time to be alive, and hopefully, enough people can kind of rouse out of their slumber and back these, characters off from this evil kind of plan that they have. But I'm rather pessimistic. Because just the mentality out here on the streets is very, very, let's say, base and animal and so forth. So we got a lot of things that have happened in the last week. We've got the coup or fake coup, false flag coup, whatever you want to call it in Turkey, which is really just, you know, a massive kind of event. And I've got probably, I tried to cover all spectrums of opinion that I have pulled up. Hopefully my computer doesn't start acting retarded, but I've got everybody from saying it was the Russians, it was Obama and the West, the Donma pedophile gang in the Turkish military, as Dr. Kevin Barrett says. And so there's all these various opinions. I mean, this is how really wild alternative media is right now, to where you can have an event like this and you can have basically some faction of alternative media blame the entire spectrum on what happened. So Erdogan did it to himself. The Saudis went after him. The Israelis did it. The military, you know, the internal, the generals and so forth, you know, loyal to Kemal Ataturk's vision, to the Russians and everybody else. So it's pretty fascinating to read all this and try to wade through all of this information, because it's just mind blowing. So I got a bunch of different clips and so forth to play tonight. What's going on with the guest, Mr. Producer? Are we having trouble? All right. So we should have Tom Lacovara coming up from Resurrect the Republic. And I wanted to just kind of, you know, touch base with him. Him and I were talking. Okay. Hey, Tom, you there, man?
I'm here, brother. How are you?
Good, man. Well, you had some trouble with your Skype, huh?
Yeah, well, it's saying unsupported all of a sudden. I've never had a problem with it before, but, you know.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Tom, he does a show. You're on 2 hours of the day now, aren't you?
Yep. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam.
Right. So, Tom and Bruce Ray Riggs done a lot of the heavy lifting as far as what has transformed us from, you know, the original design to now this behemoth, you could call it communitarian, communist, corporatist. It's a big amalgamation of a bunch of totalitarian, kind of disciplines cocktailed into one. It's more or less a technocracy now. And so,
oh, yeah.
So, Tom, you're witnessing all this stuff happening both internally in the country and, you know, abroad. Where are you at right now with as far as, you know, where's your mind at with where we are on this kind of journey we're all on together?
Well, first and foremost, I'm really a historian, and I like to take from the lessons of history and try and learn from them. Unfortunately, a lot of people seem hell-bent on doing the exact opposite. I like to quote from Marcus Cicero, "Do not blame Caesar. Blame the people of Rome who have rejoiced in their loss of freedom, who hail him when he speaks in the forum of more security, more living fatly at the expense of the industrious." Well, this is repeating itself over again. These people know what they're doing. It's all orchestrated, of course. Most of the media, I don't believe even probably three quarters of what they peddle these days. We've had so many people come forward, journalists and former CIA case officers, saying how the media is being completely scripted and controlled. You have neoconservative Trotskyism, open avowed Trotskyists that founded the neoconservative movement. And then on the left, you have far-left progressive Marxists. They were all Marxists, some with a different Kool-Aid flavor. And what we see now unfolding in the streets all across America, in my opinion, is what General Albert Pike said when they said that they would unleash the nihilists. Well, here come the Marxists. And most of them are ill-adjusted, ill-prepared, and going to probably be slaughtered if they continue on with this tact, which is exactly what the elite wants.
Let me run this by you, Tom, and a lot of people, and it just been popped into my head the last couple of these attacks, so-called, on police, whether they were real, whether the cops died or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many people all over the spectrum with just, you know, what type of incident is this? Is it a hoax? Is it a patsy? Is it a wind up MK Ultra type? People get so caught up in the minutia of these events, and I don't mind it because I like trying to follow it, and you know, I like to weigh all viewpoints before I make a decision about what it is. But when we look at these things, I've noticed two things with these last two shootings. They're both black males, and they were both military veterans. Okay, and this is what's got me kind of freaked out now, because now you've got basically these guys trained in firearms, et cetera, et cetera. And now they're going to tie the veterans. First, they're going to use these black guys as the beta test here, but to go after veterans' gun rights because they're unstable. And you got two of these guys, and they killed white cops. But I've got some clips that I'm going to play later, and I know it's probably late for you. I don't know how long you can stay on, but.
I can hang with you if you guys don't mind. I'm on the farm right now, sitting out back. You might hear some crickets.
That's all right. But so they're gonna. I just see it like this. They're gonna use this eventually to go after all veterans, and the whole platform of the AR-15, AK, 308, whatever you want to call it, the military grade, you know, rifle. Because of what it's going to do to these cops. And on the other side of the house, I have a bad feeling that there's going to be some sort of an incident, a flip flop where a white guy of some sort is going to do some serious damage to like a Black Lives Matter, Black Panther type event. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on that are, essentially that these groups, we all know that Black Lives Matter, the one fellow who met with Obama for several hours, we have him staying in a Soros house. So if you just look at the roots of who's funding it, one thing that my stepfather taught me, I had one thought, my father was a judge, my stepfather was a criminal investigator, and he always taught me, follow the money. So you follow the money. It's that simple. And what I think they're doing right now is very cleverly orchestrated because, you know, we've been exposing a lot of corruption in the police departments, a lot of the policies, that's a good word for it too, communist policies that they've been enforcing without question. One courtroom, just for a quick example, of a judge telling the deputy to shoot one of the people in the courtroom with a taser who was at absolute worst in mild contempt of court. Mild.
Yeah.
And they
was that the don't is that the be, don't tase me bro? Is that don't tase me bro?
I wish I could remember his name. I just have
no, the guy that said the guy that said don't tase me bro and they did it in the courtroom.
Yeah. No, I don't know if he said don't tase me or this is another one, but
okay.
I mean, it's just an example of of this police state just out of control and these, I hate to say it, they've intentionally hired police with lower IQs. The New York City Police Department was the first one that released a statement on this saying that it was because they didn't want their officers to become bored and move on to other positions. Now, I have friends that are cops. I've been cops for a long time. And they used to hire, and this is back in the day of my stepfather, they used to hire people that they could get with the highest IQs so that they could critically think. And they could have the discernment of when to shoot and not to shoot. My stepfather, the only time he ever pulled his gun was when he was directly fired upon. That was back in the day when men were men and intelligence ruled peace officers. And it was a different time. But we've seen a massive building of a police state for a reason, standing army, whether they're blue or not. Now, I believe in the concept of the peace officer, but I remember back in my days, police would chase somebody to the edge of their jurisdiction, and that would be it. You know, a jurisdiction was an important factor. You know, you wanted to keep the peace, but you didn't want to kill people in the process. You didn't want to endanger the public in the process. The public really were self-governing. I have a picture I shared on Facebook of a school was called and threatened that a kid was going to come in and shoot up the place. This is in the 60s. And there's a picture of a teacher sitting on one side of the doorway and a student, a senior, sitting on the other side of the doorway, and they both, one had a shotgun, one had a rifle. This is common sense. Guess what school didn't get hit?
Yeah.
I mean, so we have this concoction and this oversaturation with what they call social media, and it really occurred to me the other day, social sciences, the School of Social Research. You know, you see that word social, it should be a little red flag.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Marxist media.
Yeah, yeah. So let me throw this at you, Tom, because you were both at the Bundy Ranch and out there in Malheur at the wildlife refuge. You remember the epithets being thrown around at everybody, Y'al-Qaeda, Vanilla ISIS, and all these other terms to basically equate these, you know, all these folks with terrorism, like on the kind of subliminal level. And now we're seeing the script played out on the other side of the house with like this black militant kind of ideology shooting cops. It's almost a complete inverse, except you guys weren't killing cops. And, you know, whether these incidents are real or not with these cops, and I have a bad feeling that, you know, there could be this element to where, I mean, we're going to have to get into some of these clips, but there's some weird stuff with why this guy travels all the way from Kansas City all the way down to Baton Rouge, and he's walking around with a firearm down there. It's really just and then the thing with Dallas and them sending a robot to supposedly terminate this guy.
Oh yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. The robot.
Yeah.
Now, this is a little social experiment that I had immediately following this incident. Not too long after, I went into a local bar where I am. I sat down and I had a beer. It was one of those blue-collar places.
Yeah.
And I drummed up a conversation. This is my little social experiments that I conduct, just to see the pulse of what people are thinking. And a lot of patriotic, real patriotic, kind of conservative crowd, big surprise. But, you know, the one guy said, well, that's good they shot him with the damn robot. Save the taxpayers money. And I yeah. said, come here for a second. He's a Vietnam vet, so I had respect for the man. And I said, excuse me. I said, what do you think about the Constitution? He said, well, the Constitution's important. We have to follow the Constitution. They're not following. I said, but, sir, what you just said is a complete deviation and violation of the due process that was presented by our founders. In fact, what you've just advocated for is a police state. The man was no more a direct threat to that robot, and they could have rendered him unconscious with concussion, with a tranquilizer. If they could get close enough to him to blow him up, they could get close enough to him to tranquilize him. So
yeah, well, that was even worse than a Judge Dredd scenario, because see, they used a machine to do the execution. It wasn't even a person; it was just a remote controlled machine. Yeah,
and this is just the start of it. This is the ones where they operate from a close distance. You know, as this technology and as this technocracy increases, I predict that they're going to have increasingly robots that are patrolled and manned by people in far off locations, just like they do overseas. I mean, it's kind of obvious it's coming. We had drones flying over Mount Dura.
Yeah. Now, you know, eventually it's going to go full AI, where the machine itself is going to make the determination to execute or terminate or not. There won't even be a human involved. This is how far DARPA and IARPA are with the research. And this is what's
mastering
got a lot of people freaked out.
Mastering the human domain, my friend.
Yeah.
It's funny, but it's not. It's wow. Yeah, that's deep down that rabbit hole. But this all started, and it can be arrested, as simple as a jurisdictional understanding and a return back to the constitutional government and parameters that were first established. I mean, the thing that drives me nuts is that history books they teach in school, for instance, is the rendered opinion of some academic, right? What I would prefer and what I would like to advocate for is the replacement of these history lessons with the actual congressional record. Why are we teaching versions of history in someone's opinion when we could be teaching them the actual facts of history by showing them the congressional record and the statehouse records of the various states? And if we were to do that, which is why they won't allow it, they would see that many of the things that have happened that they've been told were so wonderful and that people back so greatly are all a sham.
Yeah, well, my problem is this, and I run this by a lot of people. And here comes the music, but I'm going to cover this right on the other side when we get back. It's Incendiary Radio with Tom Lacavara from Resurrector Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
We got Tom Lacavara from ResurrectTheRepublic.com and DirtyUncleSam.com, which is, I believe, is Bruce's site. So let me plug the chat rooms right quick. We got two chat rooms if you want to go in there, folks. Incendiarychat.chatank. Got dropped. All right. Sorry about it. We're having some serious technical difficulties tonight, getting Tom and I hooked up. But let me plug hoolisblog.blogspot.com, W-H-O-L-L-I-S, blog.blogspot.com. He always takes the time to post it onto the show onto his site, and he yanks the commercials and, you know, dresses it up real nice. So I always want to thank him. And Kyle Hunt over at Renegade posts the show quite a bit. And then Sean down over there at Renegade beams me out down there in Australia on 107.9. So thanks to everybody. We're going to, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to play this clip, which really kind of gets to the martial law, kind of the meat and potatoes of the martial law, which a lot of us have really been concerned about. But it seems like, I mean, last week I was pretty crazy feeling about it. And now it's really intensified with this Nice situation, Turkey, and now Baton Rouge, the Red Baton, Baton Rouge. Remember I talked about that where when before Hillary was even cleared by, well, the Mr. Comey, the FBI director, former guy over at HSBC, the guy that prosecuted Martha Stewart, and he just finds that he doesn't want to do anything with Mrs. Clinton there. But last week when we're talking about all that, where Obama and Hillary are campaigning together in Charlotte, right the very day that they were basically letting her off the hook, he said he was passing the baton to Hillary. And we see these things happening in Baton Rouge, the Red Baton. And we know that these two are really big fans of Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, dedicated that book to Lucifer. It's a really sick bunch over there that have the helm of the Democratic Party right now. And they ran out all the decent Democrats, the blue dogs. I was talking with an older guy about that, and he was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. All the blue dog Democrats got ran out of the party, and now it's full of just basically Bolsheviks. And so so we got Tom back.
Yeah, man.
But I was talking about the Baton Rouge, the Red Baton, and Obama passing the baton to Hillary. And I was talking about that last week, and now we have these cops. You know,
yeah, I'd like to pass a baton to them.
Yeah. So now we've got this incident, and the RNC starts tomorrow. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break, but I've got some funny stuff to play because I've got this was just up on Alex Jones's channel where he confronts Karl Rove in the airport, Dallas. And they're just happening to fly the same plane up to Cleveland.
Just happening to, yeah. Just
but everybody needs to go there, and I'm going to play it. It's only like 2 minutes long on the other side of the break. But you can tell that Karl Rove and Alex Jones have been around each other. And there's more to the body language, and you're not going to be able to see the body language, but you're going to listen to it. And so, you know, Jones being a Texan and then the Bush family and Rove, Mr. Turd Blossom, Rose.
Oh, yes.
Rove, it's a weird one. And I think everybody should watch that one when in your free time, watch Jones and, Rove interact in the airport because it's quite telling. Now, here we go. Great. You guys on the other side.
Republic Broadcasting Network. Every corner of the radio. Spend all day and night so much time. I'm bringing flowers to my sweetheart. Looking for a star.
Money. All right, we're back. City Radio with Tom Lacavara from Resurrect Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam. So go ahead and give the audience the hours of your program now, Tom. I don't get to listen to you anymore because I'm at work. I used to love when you were on from 1 to 2 p.m., but go ahead, give the audience your stuff.
Well, thanks, brother. I'm on at 11 o'clock Eastern time for 2 hours, Monday through Friday.
And that's at night?
That's at night, yeah.
Yeah.
For Monday, we're going to have, Phil Turney on, and we're going to be doing a little tribute to the USS Liberty and talk a little bit about the upcoming film that they're making.
Yeah, they got a documentary coming out. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So I'm big on advocating for that. And of course, Bruce Ray Riggs is running for the 11th Congressional House of Representatives seat in Florida. And we have discovered a fundamental flaw with the Florida Constitution, the current Florida Constitution, and in fact several versions prior to it. The original Florida Constitution, there was a very specific process in which one of its articles even called, you know, this article is forever, and there was a very specific process that needed to be followed to change it. And they did not follow that process, and they altered the Constitution, and the alteration, its version, decreased the liberties of the people of the state of Florida. And as a result of doing so, of course, you can't do that. It's an unlawful process. So what we would like to do is we would like to see the current Florida Constitution challenged. And if we win our argument, if we can get it into court and we can win our argument, they would have to basically skip before the Civil War, reinstate the original Constitution. Of course, the Bill of Rights and the Civil Rights Act would still protect everyone. We're not trying to return slavery or white supremacy or anything like that. What we're trying to do is restore the proper constitutional lawful form of government. If we're a nation of laws, if we don't follow the laws, then we have nothing.
Yeah. Let's Bill called in from Wisconsin, one of my buddies, Bill, and he said he's got some breaking news on the sheriff of Dallas, or the police chief. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw his press conference.
Yeah, parts of it.
He's saying to the activists, get involved. He said, we are hiring. Now, I found that very interesting, that he would bring the rabble from the streets, the communists from the streets, into his department. So that's, communist takeover once again.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know, I read on the air last week. I don't know if you heard it, Bill, but I got this old book from 1972, The Plot to Replace the Constitution by Robert L. Preston. Okay. And basically, it talks about in 1972 replacing the police force with a national, and I'm trying to find it, but anyway, this isn't anything new. I want to know this: what kind of screening process you got down there in Dallas PD if you're inviting knuckleheads that are calling for the kill the pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, and then you want to call them in to become a cop?
Absolutely. Well, it fits in to Jan Kozak, and not a shot is fired. Pressure from below, pressure from above. So you've
new Red Army rising.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I actually covered the pincher, Antonio Gramsci pincher strategy pretty heavily last week. And that's really, you take over the branches of government, the levers of power at the top, then you astroturf these fake grassroots movements from the bottom. And then you've got the pincher right there.
Yeah. Yep. And if you don't have that with Loretta Lynch and Comey and Obama, I don't know what you got.
Yeah, well, let me reread this from 1972. National Police Force, the police state. We are seeing the present riots, crime, and civil disorders, which have been largely sponsored by the super rich, used as the excuse for more and more federal assistance to the local police. We are seeing the recommendations that more and more of our police should attend the National Police Academy. Next, we will see federal advisors, Strong Cities Initiative, to the police in the various localities that are now accepting the federal handouts in order to upgrade their police departments. This was written in 1972, by the way.
Yeah, well, what got me...
Been telling you all along.
What got me was, in the 60s, you had cities being burned down, and then they passed, you know, the Voting Rights Act, the poverty programs, all that type of thing, and all of a sudden, they just turned the spigot off. And I thought at that time, boy, this is strange how we were on the verge of, you know, a revolution at that time, and they just simply turned it off. Well, you know, now they're going to turn it back on, and it's going to be 10 times worse.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate
you.
Hey, Mr. Wow. Producer, listen to this, Tom. Play clip two, Mr. Producer.
Here is a final warning. Listen carefully. What is happening now with the rioting, the hoax shootings, the racial tension? It's all a setup. They're fooling an entire nation, an entire world. It's a giant hoax, and you are watching it unfold, and maybe even believing it. Do not believe what you see on television. You might think it's all real. But keep in mind, this is all a part of their card game. They are now playing their final cards. The West must collapse as a part of ushering in their new world order. It's going to happen. You can plan on it. They will bring it down by whatever means necessary. Islam, a borderless society, or a false race war. Once you look past the hoaxes, you begin to understand the agenda. There are stunning facts that undergird the string of shootings that have erupted the race war. They're trying to create climate chaos, a climate of malice, of hatred, and of violence, a rising up of people to bring down the Western powers. It's happening in every Western country right now and is a part of a much broader agenda. Do not be fooled by it. With the alleged shootings of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, and previously with Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin, Obama has always come out in support of the black community and against police brutality. But Obama has a secret. Something he did behind the scenes with little exposure. While Barack Obama openly rebukes law enforcement, he has provided more militarized weaponry to local police departments than any U.S. president in history. Kind of strange, isn't it? Even the liberal New York Times cited that Barack Obama was transferring military equipment to police departments throughout the U.S. at an alarming rate and with little notice to the public. So does it make sense that Barack Obama condemns police officers while arming them with weapons like grenade launchers, mine-resistant ambush-protected armored vehicles, or MRAPs, silencers, M16 rifles, drones, and armored vehicles, and other weaponry used in intense warfare? Additionally, Obama has allocated over 93,000 machine guns, 533 military helicopters and planes, 44,000 pieces of night vision equipment, 180,000 high-capacity magazines, 435 armored cars, and an unaccounted-for amount of drones. All of it went to the local police that he has so heavily criticized. Interestingly, the drone that was allegedly just used to kill Micah Johnson would have come directly from Barack Obama. He has downsized and dismantled the military throughout the world, while creating a domestic military police force
that we have never seen before in
just
US
like he
history.
Promised.
Obama's covert actions are quite telling. He's spoken out against police while arming them with former weapons used in Iraq and Afghanistan wars. He has greatly expanded the police state created by George W. Bush, and now a perfect storm is brewing. People need to open their eyes. Stop believing everything put out by the media who has repeatedly lied to you. There are other facts to consider. Just months ago, major military convoys secretly entered Baton Rouge, Dallas, and St. Paul. These were filmed by amateur videographers. Each convoy was carried on trains and contained thousands of pieces of military equipment, including Humvees, tanks, and medic cars. Why were these convoys brought into these cities before the shootings happened? There really is an agenda underway right now in the year 2016. And I have spoken out about this for months. The Freemasonic 5776 Anna Lucius, the Year of Light. It is the arrival of their capstone. We are in the middle of one of the most prophetic years in human history. It only gets worse from here on out. We must brace for impact and prepare for what is coming.
All right, you can stop it there, Mr. Producer. That was a pretty powerful video that I just stumbled upon today. And think about this, Tom. You got this black guy, chosen meteoric rise out of nowhere, community organizer, agitprop specialist. He rises to the presidency. And then all these mass shootings start happening. His are off the charts. I mean, they're in the stratosphere. And yet, anytime it happens to a young black guy, he's all feeding into the black rage out on the streets. While at the same time, under the surface, he's building this civilian national security force that's just as big, just as well funded as our military, just like his campaign promise said.
Yes.
And
then the next step is the UN strong cities. And then the next step is he's sitting on the UN Security Council. And then the next step is he will probably become the president of the UN. Who knows? He's a Manchurian puppet who does his job very well for his council on foreign relation, handlers.
Yeah. But it's wild to watch how, people on the left, you know, your traditional, you know, Trigly Puff, SJW left, how they just think, you know, this guy's the greatest. And then,
well, they're mentally ill, and yeah, they're mentally ill as a direct result of ideological subversion. It is what ideological subversion does. And there's many different methods through chemicals and predictive programming and so all of these different methods, these silent wars that they're using. But it causes a form of detachment of reality, and you have to be able to embrace lies as truth. I mean, it's just their minds are mush. I feel sorry for them, and I don't get angry with them anymore because I look at them as a schizophrenic. Would you be angry with them for thinking that they're Napoleon? These people are mentally ill.
Yeah. So let me ask you the million-dollar question, Tom, because you're a person that has a great affinity towards the founder's constitution that was handed down. If the enemies have so scientifically decapitated the intellect of the population, they've basically, I mean, you have to agree with this, they're basically unfit to live within that system. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, and the sad part about what you're saying is and the truth about it is, and you know, I've even heard some people, you know, of course, comparing Donald Trump way ahead of time, before even really the wall was a major issue, comparing him to Adolf Hitler, and in one respect, they may be correct if he is even 60% for real. At some point coming in a future presidency, One of two things is going to happen. They're going to trigger the banking collapse, which we believe in October may just end up happening. But if they pass the buck down further, what would have to happen is they would have to be found to be implementing subversive measures or active measures, what the Soviet Union called it, and they would have to be interned. And I hate to say this because this sounds like them, but they've caused this. These technocrats have caused this. These people will need to be hospitalized, institutionalized, and deprogrammed, not programmed. Mind you, the other side would do the same thing to us, but they would do re-education.
Yeah, well, just like the Army documents say, yeah.
Right, but what we would need to do is we would need to deprogram them from their ideological subversion. I mean, the Constitution is pretty simple. We even have public law that long ago took care of things like Talmudic and Sharia law and all of that. I forget the number of the public law. I have it written down. I'll share it with you later so we can share it around. But it made all immigrants coming into this country, if they held an ideology or were part of an organization that plotted either world domination, which is the overthrow of the Constitution, or any such supremacy, were stricken. They were not allowed to enter the country. But you see, you have an executive who takes an oath to faithfully execute the laws of the United States, and they pick and choose. That's not faithfully executing.
Yeah. So, well, now carte blanche, basically they've let all the illegals in. Now the illegals don't even have to pledge any kind of allegiance to the country anymore. He doesn't wipe that clean.
But
I'm just saying by fiat, which is illegal and it's impeachable, but this Congress, which is full of a bunch of coke snorting pedophile, hooker, whatever, insider trading. There's dirt on every one of them, obviously.
It's a wrap with them. They're too far gone.
Yeah. And, but that's why I you look at Rex 84, you look at Garden Plot, Cable Splicer, all this entire build up to the Gulag, system, which is soon to be implemented. And you realize it goes right along with the ideological subversion is the scheming and planning for this eventual reality. And, we'll have to pick this up on the other side of the break, folks. Incendiary Radio. We'll be right back. Tom LaCavera from Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam. So he's on at 11. He's 11 p.m. now till 1 a.m. Monday through Friday. So if you guys want to really get a constant lesson on the transformation that the left loves to talk about and how it really happened, Bruce and Tom will really give you some good schooling on that. And, I kind of got into this world from, when I first picked up Roger Sales' book, From Sovereign to Serf. Uh-huh. And so he lays basically the groundwork there of a lot of the things that happen in that one book. And then that kind of picked my interest to the entire thing. I was talking to this older black guy, an acquaintance of mine, about the 14th Amendment, and he kind of understood where I was coming from, but he looks at the federal government kind of as a savior from evil whitey. And so the 14th Amendment, and that whole thing was actually a positive, and I tried to nail the point home. It's like, dude, they hoodwinked everybody. They told you this was free in you, and it told
the abolitionists, the abolitionist kind of whites, that it was like, hey, we're taking care of these former slaves now. So everybody's a U.S. citizen. So we can all be the same. We all got turned into serfs, you know, with that 14th Amendment. And he kind of understood what I was talking about. And then especially when you get into corporate personhood and how these big conglomerates can have the same rights as a natural man. And it's such a big topic. And so many people are, you know, don't even have the basics that now the government's turned into such a behemoth entity that, it's Soviet level, and that's what people really need to realize. If you put the Constitution and the Communist Manifesto down next to each other and have somebody read them, then they're going to be like, oh my gosh, we're living under the Communist Manifesto.
Well, you know, you're going down a rabbit hole here that when I get in trouble with constitutionalists when I go down, because I call the Constitution the Constitution. Our Constitution, our Articles of Confederation, managed to see us through independence. And then some group of elite morons, well, no, they weren't morons, they were brilliant, but besides, along with several good guys who were fighting them back kind of, you know, face to face. You had your Patrick Henrys and, you had your Freemasonic Esquires who went to the Treaty of Paris and signed a treaty that referred to the King of England as the Prince of the Americas. Hello, what?
Yeah. That was 1783, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. We got the short break, and we'll be right back, folks.
Public Broadcasting Network.
With Tom for Resurrected Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam. I was listening to Tom's show before I even got on the network, and you know, something finally, you know, I listened to a lot of talk radio, and you know, something, you know, when I was just like, you know what, I gotta start doing a show. And so it grew from 1 hour on Sundays to 2 hours, and then my numbers have been doing great, and then eventually John gave me a third hour, and so, you know, now the show goes pretty far around the place. So I want to appreciate everybody for listening and staying with the show. It's been a while, and it's been wild because I really started around Ferguson right here in my backyard, right around there a couple of years ago, and then it's really just tumbled and snowballed since, and the entire agenda just keeps magnifying and magnifying, and now we're right here on the precipice. We're right here at the edge of the cliff, And unfortunately, you know, when you look at all these operations like 9/11, Oklahoma City, Waco, Sandy Hook, Boston, I mean, I've forgotten more operations that I've researched than I can even remember. This is how wicked this world system is. And, you know, you mentioned when we were talking earlier about people needing to be deprogrammed. I got kind of a funny video, audio clip for you guys. So, Mr. Producer, let's hit, clip 4 and Dave Acton. You'll love this one. All right. Don't worry about it. Just let me know when you got it. But it's pretty funny. He goes into the BLM, the PSYOP and the rest of it. So let me ask you this. Have you looked into this coup in Turkey, Tom? I want to kind of cover that with you a little bit. Have you been digging into like this entire Middle East thing with Syria, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Israel, this Middle East on fire? Go ahead and play it, Mr. Producer. We'll get back to Turkey.
And always good to see the handiwork of the Black Lives Matter people. 3 more cops dead. What's the score now, BLM? 8 dead cops? Pretty much because of you and your slogans. Kill cops, pigs in a blanket, we want dead cops. So we're going to lay this at your feet. BLM is responsible. That means we have to start kicking in your doors and rounding up BLM leadership. Why not? Isn't that what all these intelligence organizations are supposed to be doing? The fusion centers and all the rest? How come you didn't predict this? How come you didn't prevent it? How come you weren't Johnny on the spot saying that there's a problem here? More cops dead. Now, again, a hoax, false flag. There's different definitions. There could be 3 corpses at the morgue, and it could be a false flag. Hoax would mean no corpses. So we know that. But BLM, I think it's time to blame you and start kicking in doors. Should BLM have civil rights? I don't think so. They've been doing a lot of let's kill cops lately. So it looks like the establishment has thrown BLM under the bus and a lot of bus fumes in their clothing right now. Looks like they're going to be the new scapegoat. Fine with me. I say just round them all up. We can take the BLM and put them on BLM land. We'll have a nice little FEMA camp, outer perimeter, and BLM can go to BLM. Hey, so if you're in BLM, you lose.
All right, you can stop it there.
This is Dave.
Sorry about that. I got pumped off there for a second. Sorry.
That's all right.
That.
So he's basically saying, look, you got all these fusion centers, you got all these DHS, you got all these intelligence agencies, but you guys can't seem to stop getting a bunch of pigs getting smoked, as pigs in a blanket language they like to say. And so, yeah, you spent all these billions on the surveillance state, but yet when these operations, you can't seem to stop them. And so then he makes the point, well, let's put BLM on BLM lands. And, you know, he's just making a joke there, but it's kind of funny because you got these two organizations called BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, which you have dealt with, Tom, and then you got Lives Matter.
Oh, that pissed me off when that hashtag came out because it just totally covered up all of the BLM. Hey, you know what? That's probably pretty ingenious.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting that you mentioned that. How you, now you have the two? Now you have the two organizations with the same, initials.
Same acronym. Yeah, absolutely. Hashtag BLM doesn't bring up BLM crimes and them burning up cattle and stealing people's land and government employees conspiring in private meetings to steal people's land and the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto unfolding itself right in front of everybody's faces. No, now we just get BLM and we get to see a straight up Marxist group. Isn't that great? Wow.
Whew. Man, that was pretty. Yes, they were like, "Gosh, this Bundy thing," which you know what that started. That started in what, 2013 or 14? Was that 13?
2013, yeah.
2013. So then,
well, it started in 2013. It popped off after that, but I mean,
so Mike Brown gets whatever happened to him in 2014. You see, that's where BLM gets started. So that's kind of nice timing to cover BLM.
Yeah, I wonder the stipend of the intern that thought up that little gem in the CIA, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's talk about this real quick. This entire generation of youth, Tom, that got sucked into Bernie. Okay. Bernie Sanders. And they've been having these articles on websites where all these dumb kids got Bernie tattoos.
I know, I saw that.
everybody's like, how are these Bernie tattoos doing for you now?
Feel the burn, feel the itch, what you dumbass. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't say that. But anyway, I mean, just, and yeah, and now, he's completely in bed endorsing Clinton and, yeah. You know, I just, after all of those things that he said about her, and now, you know, a good portion of the Bernie supporters are going to drop off, but, another good portion that have become now ideologically invested and part of it,
Think about the destruction of the entire kind of college millennial type gang of youth, how you've basically just plundered their any kind of faith they had in the system itself to reflect their wishes type thing. And so it's like you've completely shot down the Hindenburg of these people's ideology by. And I think it was meant to be this way, to where you whip up this fervor. Bernie, he has the dove that lands on his podium when he's speaking. See, God's with Bernie. And then this whole thing happens.
Yeah.
Let's play this clip right now. Mr. Producer, let's hit clip 9, Brother Nathaniel.
Oh, yeah!
So Jewish. I'm talking about Bernie Sanders. He's a cranky old Jew, says the Jewish forward, and sure looks like one. See for yourself. Left, right, center. But why does he have to act like one? I mean, a man who says one thing and does another acts the part of a Judas. Bernie campaigned against corporate power. He was no friend of Wall Street. And he called for the defeat of TPP that creates a corporate superstate preempting America's sovereignty. But now he's endorsed Clinton, whose connections to Wall Street and Goldman Sachs is no secret.
One of the things that Senator Sanders points to and a lot of your critics point to is you made 3 speeches for Goldman Sachs. You were paid $675,000 for 3 speeches. Was that a mistake? I mean, was that a bad error in judgment?
Look, I made speeches to lots of groups. I told them what I thought. I answered questions.
But did you have to be paid $675,000?
Well, I don't know. That's what they offered. So, every state that I know has done that.
That's why this country's in trouble. Taking bribes from Goldman Sachs is no way to put America first. Money, big money, international money, guess what Jewry wants? And before you could say matzah, matzah, Sanders betrayed everything he stood for.
I have come here to make it as clear as possible as to why I am endorsing Hillary Clinton. And why she must become our next president.
Come on, Bern. Only 3 months ago, you said Hillary wasn't qualified to be president.
She has been saying lately that she thinks that I am, quote unquote, not qualified to be president. Well, let me just say in response to Secretary Clinton, I don't believe that she is qualified if she is through her super PAC taking tens of millions of dollars in special interest funds.
Alright, you can stop it there, Mr. Producer. You can stop it, but you get the gist of it. I mean, these people like Bernie, he can come out and act like he's the real thing, man. This socialist, he's never really capitulated, blah, blah, blah.
Whoa, wait a minute. I just got to jump in on one part about that and how full of absolute soup he is. You cannot be a socialist and be against Wall Street, because literally the communist central banking scheme of the Federal Reserve is Wall Street. Yep. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. It was a lie. That's how I knew it was a lie from the guy who laughed right from the beginning as these useful idiots just got in line to get their tattoos. Oh, Lord.
Useful yeah, well, idiot. I mean, think about this, though. Bernie raises his hand and says, I you know, swear to support, you know, support and defend the Constitution, blah, blah, blah. And then you publicly espouse an ideology that is hostile to limited government because you're a Marxist, you're a socialist. And so Marxism and socialism is about collectivism. And, yep. And really the vision of the founders was individualism, yep. As much as possible. And
private property ownership.
Yeah. And so it's just really, you know, it's sick that all these people got caught up in, all that.
Let's show the people just a couple other little wool over their eyes there. Zoning in America is a communist concept. Unions in America are a communist concept, and it was brought about by the elites by treating them so horribly. Don't tell me that wasn't by design, too, knowing that they would unionize. See, they've been doing this Hegelian situation for so long, I don't think they know how not to do it.
Yeah. Mr. Producer, I sent you a message, but, we're gonna get clip 14 ready for me. No, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Let's get 12 ready. Roger Stone and Alex Jones. I wanted to set this up. But at the beginning here, this is kind of the collage about, Loretta Lynch, Comey being with HSBC, letting Hillary off, but then there's this congressman from Georgia, and this is where it starts on clip 12, where basically this is the same guy that was asking an admiral, if we move too many Marines onto the Isle of Guam, will it
capsize? No, not that one. Oh, no. Oh, no, not the Guam guy.
Yeah, just listen to this, but this is pretty good. So, let's hit clip 12, Mr. Producer.
Democratic Congressman Hank Johnson weighed in on the Democrats' perception that the hearings were unimportant to the protection of national security.
My colleagues on the other side of the aisle don't. They're just tone deaf, and they insist on chasing rabbits down holes by trying to make some hay out of something that is over with.
You may remember Johnson once expressed concern over Guam tipping over.
The whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
But Lynch could not avoid the clarity surrounding her decision to speak with Bill Clinton days before the decision and her declaration to support the FBI's investigation before the investigation was closed.
You have a conversation with the former president, the husband of the subject of an ongoing investigation, and you have that conversation before they've interviewed the subject and before they've reached their recommendations and finished their investigation. That's what triggered you to do this thing you've never done before, which is announced, I don't care what they recommend, I'm going to follow it.
My concern was that the conversation that I had with President Clinton would be seen by some as having an influence over that. I felt it was important to clarify.
Just some, Geronimo Lynch, a lot of people.
But now, as Kurt Nimmel writes, FBI Director James Comey's past and present employment as Director of HSBC's holdings and subsequent promotion to Independent Non-Executive Director and a member of the Financial System Vulnerabilities Committee, an appointment set to expire this year, clearly has blatant ties to the Clinton Foundation. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte of Virginia and committee member Representative Trey Gowdy of South Carolina want to know if the emails that were deleted and recovered by the FBI had anything to do with the Clinton Foundation. The Mexican drug cartel money laundering Swiss bank, HSBC, is connected to the Clinton Foundation through a number of initiatives, including its Building the Corporate Coalition, investing in management and leadership in Vietnam and other American economy destroying free trade.
You can stop it there, Mr. Producer, and go ahead and forward to 4609 on that same video. But yeah, so this is how convoluted and just dirty Comey is. And this is the same guy, Tom, that put Martha Stewart in the slammer. Comey.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So
they sent mom to jail. Yeah.
Yeah. For a $50,000 insider trade while Hillary's running a private server above top secret materials from her house.
Yeah.
All right. So here, this next clip, folks, is Roger Stone, one of Trump's, you know, inside gurus, and Alex Jones. And it's pretty interesting because they're going to talk, they're talking about what's about to go down starting tomorrow. Go ahead and hit clip part two there, 4609.
I totally agree. Alex, we have really good intelligence today that there are 10,000 professional agitators on their way to Cleveland. I'm not exaggerating that number. We have documented it. So they are looking for a conflagration, and therefore it's more important than ever that if you are a Trump supporter, number one, come to Cleveland. It's going to be an extraordinary rally on Monday at 11:30 at Settlers Park. Alex Jones is the headline speaker. The new rock sensation, the Liberty rock sensation, Kate Koptemko will be performing. You're going to have major speeches. I intend
all right,
to speak.
You can go ahead and stop it.
A star lineup of speakers.
I got some Liberty Rock for them. They need to listen to Payday Monsanto, man.
Oh, yeah. I talked to Payday through Twitter quite a bit.
Yeah, man.
Now, here's the weird thing. So Stone put this out the other day, and then I've been reading these articles, Tom, about Malik Zulu Shabazz of the New Black Panthers, Lawyers for Justice. He is promising violence in Cleveland. Sean King, the confused white kid that thinks he's black, of the black, Black Lives Matter movement, who writes for the New York Daily News now, an agitator since Ferguson, made his bones in Ferguson. He's saying that there's going to be a coup if Trump wins. Yeah. And so if Trump gets into office, him and his BLM buddies are going to do a coup on the government. Well, I think there might be a coup at the RNC convention to try to pull one last fast one and then keep Trump out of there. Not that it's a big deal one way or the other. They're going to select who they want. But let's cover this on the other side. Keep that on the tip of your brain, Tom.
Yeah, man.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
With Tom from Resurrected Republic and Dirty Uncle Sam. So we're talking Cleveland and the possibility of some sort of silliness there, Tom. What are you feeling right now?
Well, I'm feeling tension, of course, like everyone else is. But here's the thing. Whenever people have been led to believe that they're going to do something, they don't. And when they least expect it, they do. I mean, this is a toss up. I know that the Shabazz and all of that, I know what he said, but we also were told, that we were, this past Friday was going to be a day of chaos.
Day of rage, whatever
it was. And we didn't get the day of rage. So now did that disarm people's, to a point? I don't know. They're playing such head games at this point. All I know is this. What they're doing is a setup. And if anybody gets involved in the setup, they're crazy. I see people positioning themselves like Alex Jones, which, you know, not that Alex Jones doesn't do any good work and what he's saying isn't true, but you have to understand what he's not telling us too. I mean, he's a Nazi, 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 Nazi. And whereas there are elements of the left that were in that movement, the comparison to what's going on here is far more Soviet Bolshevik in its construct. So he announces who he is by what he won't tell you.
After the bottom of the hour, I've got a clip of him and this Navy SEAL, Matt Bracken, who's a real kind of survivalist, kind of visionary, kind of apocalyptic writer. And I'm going to go through some of the clips with you so we can kind of hash exactly what you're talking about out.
Cool.
So, yeah, you'll like this stuff because, see, it also... He's pitting us directly against Islam, which is really down on the pecking order as a proxy of the real people that are throwing Islam at us. And that's what it really kind of gets a lot of us out here is, okay, you're putting a Muslim in my face to fight, but who brought the Muslim in my face? And he uses that kind of shadowy globalist language. Where we know it's basically Jewish mafia and the penetrated Vatican gang. You know, I was digging in the Knights of Malta website, last night. Holy cow. Yep. There's so much there, folks. These guys are all sitting there with their little status at the UN as a sovereign kind of, nation. And these guys sit on all these UN commercial code tribunals. I mean, it's freaky when you dig into that, that side of the house, and I wanted to run this by you too while I had you on the air. It seems like all the researchers, they do this. They either go after the Jesuits in the Vatican and they turn a blind eye to the Jewish mafia, or they go after the Jewish mafia and they turn a blind eye to the Vatican and the Jesuits and the Knights of Malta and that whole. And it's like there's so few researchers that try to look at the entire equation and all of the factors that go into the equation.
They're melded together, brother. Rothschild wore around his neck the insignia of the Knights of Malta. The Red Shield itself, the Red Shield that was an insignia, not the star. The Red Shield behind the star where he got his name, Rothschild, when they changed their name from Bauer. The Red Shield was an insignia that was an identification of his Roman allegiance.
Well, you know Art from Philly, right, Tom?
Sure do.
Yeah, well, he's dug into this Annenberg family, okay? Heavyweights over here in Philadelphia and on the West Coast. Well, I started digging into the Annenbergs and I noticed, guess what? A bunch of them are papal knights as well. And so it's
absolutely,
yeah. And you know, and so you got this kind of ethnic Jewish gang, but then they like taking titles from the papacy and so forth. And we know that the Rothschilds are guardians of the papal treasure.
Yes. They're the second tier. See, here's the thing. They're the second tier of the pyramid.
Hold that. We'll be right back with the other side.
Yeah.
Republic Broadcasting Network.
are back. Incendiary Radio. I hope you're enjoying the program, folks, with Tom and I. Now, I wanted to get this in. It was up near the top of my notes, and I wanted to throw this by Tom because I started thinking about this. Now, I'm on tomatobubble.com, Mike King's site, okay?
Yeah, I love Tomato Bubble.
Yeah, and this is about not a drop of blood on the white murder truck, okay? They're talking about the one in Nice, okay? And I'm looking at the pictures that the media released about this truck, okay, that has a few bullet holes in the glass and et cetera, et cetera. So everybody go to the tomatobubble.com. Nice, France, terror hoax is what he's calling it. I'm not willing to say that yet. I don't know. But he shows a bunch of other cars that hit animals and trucks and trains that hit animals, and you're looking at all these blood splatters, okay? Right. And then you're looking at this vehicle that supposedly killed 70 to 80 people, and there's not a stinking drop of blood on this thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Now what I'm saying is like this. Fake footage, real event. I'm thinking like this. This is what they might be doing. They might be mind screwing us to the point where, yeah, let's say they did a real event and they ran over some people, but they're giving us possibly over here a fake truck that was just, you know, dressed up and put out there for pictures, to where we're all going to notice the anomalies and be like, what the hell? And so we're all thinking it's totally fake over here because we're looking at a bloodless truck. But then,
media, the little blue fried wolf.
Yeah, but then the people in Nice that were there, and if they might have saw some people run over, they're going to all call us a bunch of evil, you know, crackpots because we don't, you know, cause what we're looking at is bogus. And so this could be like kind of a dualistic psyop they could be running on us from time to time, is present us completely BS bogus pictures and footage.
Very well possible.
But yet run a real operation halfway around the world. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
My thoughts are, it goes back to a little childhood tale that my grandmother told me about the little boy who cried wolf. I don't care anymore. And the reason that I don't care anymore is because I haven't compiled enough evidence to show the absolute complete manipulation by the media that I think the safe bet to say to everyone out there is don't believe anything you see or anything that they tell you, period. End of story. They lie.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't mean to be cynical, but. Yeah. I mean,
that's a very plausible viewpoint to, you know, that I understand where you're at with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It saves me, like, you know, I go back to history, like, and I see history repeating itself. False flags are nothing new. Conspiracies are nothing new. In fact, the conspiracies are what created the Roman Empire. And it's funny how the CIA has turned that into such a moronic buzzword for the useful idiots. Oh, you sound like a conspiracy theorist. Okay, well, dude, I don't know about you, but JFK got his head blown off and a dude underneath the bridge got hit with concrete from one of the bullets on the triangulated fire. I know triangulated fire when I see it. So if they can kill a president, in the modern era with Secret Service and all of that, I mean, dude, I don't, and Sirhan, that killed Bobby Kennedy, he had the same symptoms as James Holmes. At some point, people need to realize what the hell scopolamine is. This driver that supposedly mowed down these people. You blow a couple grains of scopolamine in his face, you give him the keys to a vehicle and say, go mow these people down. And, you know, it very well could have happened. It costs about $200 in South America to get a big batch that's enough to make 100 people overdose. It's ridiculous. They've been using scopolamine in many of these false flags. What is this one with the guy who was a DHS employee? I mean, give me a freaking break. He was working for G4S, which has been contracting with the DHS. So this poor sad sack moron. They pick on him because he's an Arab and he fits the profile. But they're not even getting careful enough to make sure that, you know, this guy is working for one of our subsidiary.
Yeah, well, his father's a very kind of murky character as well, rubbing elbows with all the bigwigs in D.C. He's probably a drug lord of some sort, I would guess, running heroin for the alphabet agencies. Because sure. his pop had a lot of pictures with a lot of heavyweight politicians, and I'm like,
I believe he was running for office.
Yeah, Afghani president. Yeah, but when you see these guys over here rubbing elbows with these political class, you're probably like opiates, I would guess, or rare earth minerals of some sort. So I want to get into this real quick and run through this clip. Mr. Producer, get clip one ready, because this is Jones and this guy Matt Bracken, Navy SEAL, oh, yeah, kind of apocalyptic writer, kind of prepper oriented guy. And I want to let the listeners kind of hear where Jones, who's the big fish in the pond, we'll all have to admit it, but where he's taking us in the last segment. He's actually, and I tweeted this out, and you saw it, Tom, that he was calling for another crusade against Islam. And so, Mr. Producer, yeah, this is so wild. Mr. Producer, let's start at 8:09.
I'm going to say this before we go to Matt. I want to ask him this question. Is there any doubt that this is a coordinated globalist program allied with Islam and Saudi Arabia to bring down the left and to merge with the left, Islam with the left, and to actually persecute everyone that doesn't submit, saying it's our fault the Muslims are attacking? Germany's already doing it. Sweden's already doing it. France is already arresting people. Facebook's already censoring. They're already censoring newspaper. People are going along with it and will not use the words. I mean, this is crazy that we're under attack and we've got a globalist-run information war where we can't even say who is attacking us. And you've got every weirdo leftist group. They have major Hollywood movies out attacking me by name, saying I'm an Islamophobe and need to be locked up. I mean, the Democratic Party platform says arrest climate change deniers. I mean, is this really their attack plan? Because you predicted it. It's here. The attacks are bigger. They're coming closer together. Matt Bracken.
Hi, Alex. It's a terrible day, but you keep wondering at what point will there be a turning point. Today I saw President Hollande of France, and his remarks in Nice never mentioned Islam. Just terrorism.
He's like the one that brought him in. He's the one that brought him in. Right. He's allied with him. He's their general.
In Germany, they're arresting people that post anything about the invasion on social media. They're not arresting the Islamists. They're arresting the people who warn about the Islamists.
You can stop it there, Mr. Producer, and go ahead and forward to 11:46. So let's set this one up, Tom. So now... Okay. The Islamists are the bad guys. It's Saudi Arabia, which is nothing but a creation of the British Empire, the Zio British Empire.
Yep.
Behind this Islamic invasion, the Kosher Nostra, the boys in the Jesuits, the Knights of Malta, who, if you go on the Knights of Malta website, they're all about refugees. They're all about blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so you got these gangs that really control the thing, but then Jones is – like he always does, he's going right at Islam like it's the problem. Like all these Muslims just decided, yeah, let's all go to Europe. There's nothing that just told them, hey, come to Europe. It's just like, hey, let's just go to Europe. They're going to let us in.
Yeah, right?
your thoughts on that to start off with.
Oh, God, where do I start on that? I asked if Ken could bring up, and this is, I think that this is, it fits in with it, what Barbara Spector said. This is a misdirection. This is the bait and switch. And Barbara Spector said it best to form that group Paideia, who basically said, you know, that Jews would be hated for their leading role in the implementation of their leadership of the integration of Europe into its multicultural phase, and that they wouldn't be able to survive without Jews taking that leading role. Okay, just that mindset in and of itself, how absolutely just, I don't even really know a word for that beyond absolute insanity. Europe is not entering a multicultural phase. This is being implemented by key communist Bolshevik Marxists because they need to undermine the fabric of each of these nations to destroy it and take it over for themselves. And this is what we see playing out. This is this Albert Pike wrote this in his letter to Mazzini that Islam and political Zionism would mutually annihilate each other in a third world war to bring about the new world order. Well, could you imagine the sympathy that the Holocaust brought? Could you imagine if Israel actually got hit? What the world sympathy level would be for, and you know, the only ones that would escape the true effects of it are the architects of it. The actual people are just like us, pawns in the game.
Yeah. The lesser brethren is what they call them in the protocols. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's play the next clip, Mr. Producer, 1146.
The socialists think that they can ride the tiger of Islam, but in the end they'll convert because secular atheists never have a problem converting like Carlos the Jackal did to Islam, because to a secular atheist, saying 10 or 12 words about Muhammad and Islam, that's just, you know, an incantation.
And as long as they can kill Christians, I mean, that's the real target. I mean, they want to mount our head on the wall, so they like it.
Well, of course they like it. Now, in the end, the Islamists will win because they're willing to behead everybody in sight, including atheists that don't convert. So the atheists will convert. The left will just, like Carlos the Jackal, the left will just switch gears.
Listen, we go out to rallies and see women saying they're feminists, just worshiping Islam and attacking us that we don't criticize.
Okay, go ahead, stop it there, Mr. Producer. You're getting the gist of it. Go ahead and forward to the next at 1655. So now they're basically setting it up that all the left, the softies, the commies, that they're all just going to convert to Islam because, see, this big, strong Islamic world is going to just force everybody to convert. And I mentioned this to you a while back on your program when I was a caller. I was like, look, the jerks that are truly running this system, they might use in many parts of the world these guys to pull off what they consider, you know, the implementation of the totalitarian scheme. But what these guys aren't telling you is that Islam itself is slated for destruction in the vision of, you know, the real masters of this thing.
Yeah, when they unroll the true religion, the true faith, which has always been underlying and always been actually right out in everybody's face, which is Luciferianism, or a form of Babylonian Moloch or Baal worship. I mean, if you look at the modern day regressive, progressive left, and you compare them to the Moloch worshippers of old, and I take you back, this is kind of funny, not funny, but funny in a way, when you look at this, because the last association, the modern association, is from the right, but you see them, in ancient times, they used to take children, twice a year, throw them in the fire, so there you have of course they would have to give birth to them to do this, so, it wasn't abortion per se, it was just child sacrifice, but I mean, abortion is comparative as we see today. And around these fires, they would have same-sex orgies, so you have the LGB, whatever XYZ you want to add to it. You look at ancient Baal worship, ancient Moloch worship, and you look at the modern day left, and it is a reemergence of it. And I close this with saying, that one of the biggest groups that you see doing this isn't just the left. This is if you look at Bohemian Grove, the 40-foot owl and the cremation of care. And, they're rising, man.
You remember the 1,000 temples of Baal that were going to get built all over the freaking world, the Palmyra Arch. And then it happens just this blonde-haired guy, Mr. Brexit Boris, was the guy that cut the string on the Arch of Baal in Trafalgar Square in London. And so our Brexit buddy that everybody thinks is a great, great guy who's constantly drunk on TV, this is the guy that really was at the ribbon-cutting ceremony to the Palmyra Temple of Victory or whatever they renamed it, but it was a Baal temple. So yep. Pretty fascinating, all these various kind of connections. We got a couple minutes left. Let's hit the next segment, Mr. Producer.
I'm Newt Gingrich.
Western civilization is in a war. We should, frankly, test every person from here who's, who is of a Muslim background, and if they believe in Sharia, they should be deported. Sharia is incompatible with Western civilization. Modern Muslims who have given up Sharia, glad to have them as citizens.
All right, let me stop there. Let me just stop right there. Door.
We need to be fairly...
People call that a radical...
Go ahead and stop it there, Mr. Producer, and go to the next clip. So that's Newt Gingrich in his little litmus test. What do you think?
I just have one thing to say about this. This is such another bait and switch type of ordeal, because while they're talking about the forced implementation of Sharia or anything else, what they're not talking about is the fact that since the 50s, Talmudic law has been embraced with open arms. This is an ideology of supremacism, of world domination, of all of the things that you hear about that are in the Quran, like Taqiyya, where they can lie to you to gain your trust. We're goyim to these people. So if you do not, and this is what I've been doing specifically recently, is I've been taking all of the anti-Sharia, rhetoric, the memes, and I've been putting at the top of it, Talmudic law, and because if you just point out one without illustrating the other again, you're a hypocrite.
Well, the Talmudic law has been around a lot longer than Sharia. And, when you get into some of these researchers, and we're coming up on a break, but when you get into some of the researchers into the founder of the Wahhabis, and you've got all these members of the cryptocracy, and you get into Sabbatai Zevi and the Zevites, basically he was forced to convert to Islam. And so you had this entire wing of followers of this fake Messiah, Sabbatai Zevi, 1666. They went into Islam, folks, and David Livingstone and a bunch of, Christopher John Bjerknes and others really have went into this, to where when you get some of these kind of twisted, Takfiri, Salafist and Wahhabist wings of Islam, there's these strong parallels to Babylonian Talmudic Judaism that are really fascinating to keep your eyes on. And I hear the break, so we'll pick this up on the other side. Tom from ResurrectedRepublic.com, DirtyUncleSam.com. So let's hit the next segment, Mr. Producer.
Study history. I've talked to the experts. I'm looking at what's going on with our power plants getting shut down, the cultural warfare, the attack on the family, the open borders, the government ordering the Border Patrol to release people with TB by the thousands, and it's just spreading everywhere. And I'm like, my God, we are really under attack. This is not negligence. And I know we've had corruption and problems, but I used to get chills every few days thinking about this. I get chills all the time now. My physiology is like, get ready to kick ass. And believe me, I'm not looking for trouble, folks, but you just see the acceleration of everything.
Oh, Lord.
The mass killings, the killing of cops, the leftist operations, all of it. It's like evil is being turned loose. And Matt Bracken's riding shotgun with us into the next segment with Paul Watson, former Navy SEAL, author, researcher, who's really predicted all of this. But I got to tell you, it's not a good move for the Western elite, who had everything sewn up, until you realize they have a desire to bring down the West because they want to control free will. They want a technocracy. And they think their technocracy is going to be able to control Islam, and they're going to double cross it. That is what's happening. Matt Bracken's right. And I am really upset. I mean... I don't care who you are. It's time to get out of your box. It's time to get aggressive. Matt Bracken, what do we do to really get aggressive? I'm trying as hard as I can. Do you concur with me, though, that this confirms our worst analysis? I mean, this is worse than I thought. It seems like they're moving the timetable up.
Yeah, this is a takedown. This is a destabilization. It's going to accelerate. It's going to go algorithmic. We just had a sidebar diversion over to Nice, France, and that's terrible for Europe and terrible for the world. But I have to go back to Dallas. This is a progression. Obama and his gang have been stoking the racial flames. They got the action that they wanted in Dallas. The next step, and what they really need, is for a right winger to do a magazine dump into a BLM mob on a freeway, something like that. I'm very concerned about the convention next week. Obviously, a lot of morons have just figured out that if they rent a truck, they can cause mass casualty mayhem. People that might not have thought about that before, they all know now. And the problem that I see is that at some point, somebody's going to unload a magazine right into a crowd. Now, the guy in Dallas, Micah X. Johnson, he at least was using a scope and aiming at police. Otherwise, there would have been 30 other civilians shot. But the next target, which is just going to be a mob of BLM people, you won't need a scope. All you'll need is a perch on a highway overpass, and you'll just be aiming into a crowd of 1,000 people. So every round is going to hit one or two or three. That's the next step on the progression. Okay, that's the next thing that I see coming.
You could stop it there, and then we're going to come up on a break and forward to the next segment. But that's my real – that kind of makes me shudder, Tom, is if something like that does go down and you see a mass body count of like some BLM types. And I don't think it's really out of the Alinskyites, the Stalinists that we're dealing with to actually pull a false flag of that nature.
Oh, half truth Jones.
See you guys on the other side of the break. We got a long segment coming up. Incendiary Radio.
Republic Broadcasting Network.
So let's do this, Mr. Producer. Hold that clip right where it's at and get clip three ready because Tom will be back in a minute. I wanted to hear those last couple segments of that other one. So this one I stumbled upon earlier today, and this one's pretty fascinating. This is some very – you back, Tom?
I'm back, brother.
Okay, cool. So So let's see here. We've got, if you can go back to clip one, we got, I think, two segments left, Mr. Producer. Go ahead and hit 3443, I think we're at now.
Now, something that I need to use two Arabic words. One is jizya and one is dhimmi. Another concept in English is called the bride price. When a trader comes over, say back in the Cold War era terms, a Russian trader came over. The bride price were the secrets that he brought. You know, you didn't just show up and say, I hate the KGB. You had to burn some KGB people back in Moscow. That's the bride price. the Hollande and Merkel, their jizya, their bride price for continuing in power under the new caliphate is to betray their own people, to lie to their about their own people and to their own people.
Right. So they've, in fact, they've had the meetings where they say, you've got to give us cover for our jihad. We want to see you let us do this. Just like a gang member to be initiated has got to go kill an old lady for no reason. This is literally a gang initiation.
Well, this is a gang initiation where the leaders of Europe are lying to their own people, and they know they're lying to their own people. This is their bride price, their jizya tax for becoming safe dhimmis and keeping their power. Now, some of them might just out and out say, I converted long ago. I'm a Muslim.
Okay, you can stop it there, Mr. Producer, and forward it to that last segment, which is the bombshell 3737. So Matt Bracken and Jones are coming at it like this, Tom. They're saying that all these Western European leaders have made a deal with the Islamic power of the world that they're going to sell out their own people and let all their countries become Islamic, and they're cool with that. And somehow the two big heavy hitters in the equation for Europe, which is Kosher Nostra and the Vatican, it's just a deal between, you see, Hollande, Merkel, and the jihad, you see.
Yep. Yes, sir. I mean, it's comical kind of, in a way.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, so they're trying to make it seem like Islam itself is not, has no other level of control over it, especially, you know, the Saudi Arabian version or the Sunni version, that somehow the Jewish mafia and then some of the elements in the Vatican are somehow they had no power in this. And, this was just done organically by the Islamic countries and the leaders of Europe.
You know who I miss? I miss Gaddafi.
I've got a couple clips about Gaddafi with Salente that you're gonna love. Let's play this last clip, Mr. Producer, where you're gonna hear Alex Jones call for a new crusade. Go ahead, Mr. Producer.
Don't we need a new crusade? I mean, the crusade's got a dirty name, but we were attacked for 400 years before we went in there and kicked their ass. And I'm sorry, if they want one, and this time we won't attack countries that are moderate. Saudi Arabia and all these other jihad centers, they want to fight, they need to really get one.
Well, the good thing is that we have this constitution, so we have at least a legal trench line to fight in, which is that our constitution is above Sharia law. And anybody who says, for example, Hillary Clinton, she wants to pass this thing called UN Resolution 1618, which outlaws blasphemy against Islam. Like Obama said, you know, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet.
And that's why the internet now won't let you criticize Islam enemy, because that's blasphemy. Gone is our First Amendment.
Well, that's Sharia.
All right, go ahead, go ahead and stop it there, Mr. Producer. So Mark Zuckerberg and all these characters, you see these Jewish characters that control Facebook and Google. You see, they're all just crypto Muslims. You see what I'm saying, Tom? And so,
you see the Marxist social justice warriors. You know, have you noticed who's standing up for us on the right and fighting back biggest against these social justice warriors is a homosexual, Catholic Jew, Milo Yiannopoulos. And don't get me wrong. Milo's freaking entertaining when he slices this SJWs up. I actually do kind of enjoy it, but I have to stop myself and say, Catholic Jew, hold on a minute. And then you have on the other side, you have Ben Shapiro.
Yeah. Well, both of those guys. Yeah, well, you've got, that's the Breitbart nexus between those two. And you know, it's a pretty fascinating trail to go down with both of those two.
Yeah.
For some reason, neither one of them has a problem with what Israel does to its neighbors.
Which is my problem with them.
Yeah. And, you know, and they follow along the same kind of WorldNet Daily, The Blaze, and now InfoWars quite a bit, and Drudge, this kind of kosher, let's just say realm, where they go so far, but they don't cross a certain line because they like making their money. Now, let me play you this UN Strong Cities thing. I wanted to get this out. Yeah. Mr. Producer, let's go ahead and hit clip three now.
This exceptional group of 25 local authorities from around the world have and will continue to shape the Strong Cities network.
But today, we have
this
a different...
Loretta Lynch.
Through the Strong Cities Network being unveiled today, we're making the first systematic effort in history to bring together cities around the world to share experiences, to pool all of our resources, and to forge partnerships in order to build local cohesion and resilience on a global scale.
The Strong Cities Network is a network focused on supporting cities to prevent all forms of violent extremism. It is important to remember that while attention is currently focused on ISIS and the challenge of foreign fighters, the threat of other forms of violent extremism, not least extreme right-wing groups, remain critical and of critical concern to local authorities around the world and the communities that they represent.
This is, I think, therefore a fitting place to talk about the launch of the Strong Cities Network and what it can mean and what it can achieve. This network is different. It is unlike any other effort that we've seen before.
I have for a long time believed that international institutions should be doing far more to integrate cities into global governance.
We will send a message from all of our voices about who we are and about what we aspire to be as an alliance of nations and a global community.
All right, you could stop it there.
Brother, if I see a UN helmet, I swear to God, and I'll say this right on the air, I don't care, the FBI can come and do whatever they want. If I see blue helmets, they're dead. They're dead. Do you hear me? UN, Rockefeller, Council on Foreign Relations. You might want to put me closer to the top of your list because you send your blue helmets, they're dead. That's it. They're dead. I just cannot believe that people are listening to this and not just going to their local representatives and stringing them up. Yeah. I mean, it's oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, we're finally reaching, you know, all of us that have read the New American and the John Birch Society stuff since we were kids. And, you know, we've been all looking at this stuff and we all knew that this day, this time frame that we're witnessing right now was going to be here. And we're finally seeing it come to a head. It's coalescing. It's almost like you got to smack yourself because it's finally like here and it's happening. And it's been this incremental boiling frog kind of effect. And now finally the heat's turned up to the point where you're like, holy cow, they're actually going for it.
What's that guy's name that does that piece on CNN? Oh yeah, Rachel Madcow. She just goes off on the John Birchers or being right wing conspiracy theorists. Now look, there was an element that's a little suspicious with the whole Bircher network, with the Rockefellers buying the Cookie Corporation and all that. Rockefellers try and buy everything. That's what they do. And if the Birchers were smart enough to sell it to them. Look, they've told us so much truth. If you go back to 57 to Welch's speech, I don't care what cookies he sold to Rockefeller or not. He can eat them for all I care. The man told the truth, and we see it unfolding right in front of our eyes, right in front of everybody's eyes. What they did was they made the Birchers this crazy group, and they weren't crazy. The majority of its members were solid, upstanding people just like you, just like me, and what I believe that the intention with that group was to try and discredit them through making them look silly, just like the Barney Miller clip that I told you about, where they made fun of the guy for pointing out the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and Kissinger and all of that. They have for decades pounded into the psyche that anybody trying to make fun of these philanthropists were nuts. And look at what's happening. All of you egg on your face for not believing us. We tried telling you, and I tried separating myself from groups, but a funny story, real quick, funny story. My mom had a couple Birchers stop by the house. This is back in the 50s or the 60s, right around that time. and they gave my mother their material. And my mother was sitting there with my grandmother, who had not been home at the time, and she was reading the Birch, you know, the John Birch Society material. And my grandmother stood up and she said, "That's it. That's it. Where do I sign?" These people knew. My family knew a long time ago what the communists were doing. And that is exactly what they did through this predictive programming and this psychosis that they have America in with the neoconservative Trotskyites that were founded by open and admitted Trotskyites. If you call yourself out there, if you're listening to this show and you're a neocon, that you're pissed off that we're talking about you, you were founded by Trotskyites. Look it up. Google it. It's free information. These people were admitted. So you have the left on the right, and you have the left on the left. It's the same Hegelian situation you saw playing itself out with the Nazis butting heads with the Soviets. It's history repeating itself, brother.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of argument to be made about, you know, the Nazis and, you know, all that. I mean, you could talk for days about, you know, all of that stuff. But let's get into this. You know, where we're at right now, it seems that we're coming to a point where everybody's going to have to make a decision. Your thoughts right now on the intestinal fortitude of those kind of in our sector right now. Where do you, you know, cause there's a lot of people that listen to, you know, various kind of, let's say, levels of where we're at. You know, if they do send the blue helmets, or if they do, you know, activate DHS style, you know, actors, with a gun grab, a martial law type scenario. How with what you know right now, how well do you think it's going to go for either side?
I can go back to my life experience for this. I was in Washington DC. I just made a video at the Government Accountability Office. I kind of wanted to rub salt in their wounds. This is going back during the trucker's ride and all of this government accounting business was going on, the mismanagement. And I went across the street into a pizzeria in Washington DC, and there was a DC cop there, and he saw my shirt, and it was Constitution this and that, you know, whatever. And we started talking, and I said, you know what's coming. And he said, "Oh, I know what's coming." This is a DC cop, mind you. And I said, "Well, you know, there's a lot of us out here that don't want to stand against police. We don't want you to follow unlawful orders." And he said, and he looked both ways, and he leaned into me and he said, "I have an arsenal in my house that many people would envy." He said, "I have, you know," and he had a number of ARs and this and that. And I said, "You can only shoot maybe one or two at a time." He said, "They're not for me. They're for you." Chew on that.
They're
already infiltrated from within. They're already, the system and the mechanisms that they're building, there are enough people who at least have enough common sense. Now, they would literally have to wait another 15 or 20 years for these people to drop off. So if they want to hit the accelerator right now, all I would have to say to them is this: while evil may triumph for a moment, good will triumph in the end. I don't know much more I can say about that. Yeah. When you have folks that are ensconced in the system, that are literally using their money, their time, and their efforts to build something to be able to help you fight back if it were to get to that point, I dare say that, you know, a lot of these Marxist nitwit useful idiots, they're not trained. They don't have the critical thinking skills that you and I have, or they wouldn't be where they are. So really what it comes down to is are there more good people in this world than evil? And I kind of put my faith in God sometimes, maybe, I guess. I like to think that there's more good than evil in the world. So, I mean, this is going to be a toss-up. I don't think that we can escape. bloodshed. I would love to believe that we can escape bloodshed, but I don't think that that, I think that that, that, that horse left the gate probably about 40 or 50 years ago.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way just because of, unfortunately, the, what you want to call it, zombie or ignorance level or programming, whatever you want to say, of the general public. And so everybody's corralled into their sectors. And now, the operators are really doing a doozy, on the population through these various, let's just say, methods, that they use to pump the garbage out, throughout the population itself, social media, TV, ELF, who knows what else, cell phone towers, whatever the hell they've got. To crank up a population, it's getting a pretty big fever pitch. And, you know, I was at a bar with my old man the other day, and he's all like combat veterans, like three tours in Nam. One guy's missing a leg. He was in Korea. You know what he said to me, Tom?
What's that?
And he was sitting there drinking. He's like, if we're going to have a race war, let's do it now. And he was an old white guy, but that was his words, and it came directly out of just all of our conversation.
Yeah.
And even he felt it down deep, and he doesn't want it, but he's like, you know what? Right now with the population numbers the way it is, he just felt somewhere deep down. He's like, if we're going to have one, let's have it
let's
now.
Let's have it. Yeah. Let's have it now. Yeah. I kind of agree. I really do. I kind of agree, because the Marxists that are pitted up against us, some, very few of them, are militant. And what I mean by militant is well-regulated. And I mean the founders of the Tenet of well-regulated. They know how to use firearms. They know how to tactically use firearms. I think this is one of the elite's plans for appealing to military service for such inner city neighborhoods, because, yeah, you know, you pull them in, you train them, and you pump them back out into the populace. But that being said, there are enough of us still Vietnam veterans, and those of us have been trained to deal with it.
All right, man, let's pick this up on the other side. We'll move on to a couple other clips. Radio. Now, Tom and I were talking off the air, and this thought popped into my head that pops into my head a lot. And I wanted to run it by Tom on the air, and we talked about it off the air. So here it is. And this is what I think keeps people, let's just say, hesitant to move to the next level, to take the next step in order trying to basically affect positive change or to overthrow the system, as it is. And that is, people've got loved ones. They've got, you know, lives out here. But the thing is, there's this thing where people don't want to get caught up into the penal system too early. They don't want to get locked up and thrown in jail before the real storm breaks, before the SHTF moment when it goes full blown live. And I think there's so many Americans, I can see it when I talk to them, we all feel it, and it's almost an unspoken feeling that they don't want to do anything that's going to get them incarcerated before the time when we all know deep in our DNA, in our gut, or whatever you want to call it, in your psyche, that, yeah, this is the time to go full-blown, you know, insane, and let's bring it, and let's do it. You know what I'm saying? Wanted you to respond to that on the air.
Well, you know, like you were saying with that old saying, you know, a lot of people are holding up. They're saying, you know, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. And what I try and tell you is, first of all, we've been looking at the whites of their eyes for decades upon decades. They've been within us. They've been among us. They've infiltrated every echelon of government to the point of a complete replace. We're living in a Plato's cave. It's an illusion of the Constitution that we're under right now. It's not the true Constitution we were meant to be under. So you have that.
Hey, but Tom, let me throw this in there. They've scientifically, like, actuaried this out to where they're like, I'm going to make life to where it's still bearable to the last minute cell in their body to where, you know what I mean? It's like this management system that says, yeah, we'll make it to where they have the illusion of freedom very, very until we take the velvet glove off and smash them with the iron fist perfectly. You know what I mean?
Yes, I hear what you're saying. A lot of people are afraid to go to prison because they want to be here. They want to be here when the STHF. But what I have to tell them is if we're afraid of prison today, then we will be at the gallows tomorrow. And if you do get sent to prison, I would say if you have to take some sort of noble or righteous stand, hopefully nonviolent, but if you have to take a stand, you know, infiltrate your surroundings, free yourself from where you are and be fishers of men wherever you are. And I know that sounds kind of, almost like suicidal in a way, but it's not really. You have to understand these people. Look at Leon Trotsky. They threw him in jail before he became the leader of the Red Army. What did he do while he was in jail? He planned what he was going to do when he got out. So all I can say to those folks out there, some of them are political prisoners right now for taking a moral stand to what they thought was right. And they were correct. They were standing against the United Nations. They were standing against this construct, this Marxist army that's rising. And Lavoie himself went up the pole. He removed these cameras down there watching everything. And these are private NGOs. And you have, the UN literally just stomping and taking over. But you had go to the United Nations and stand at the pulpit and say, not that I came in the name of God, but the Pope coming to the United
Nations.
Yeah, I come in my own name. Well, thank you, you Jesuit Marxist son of a... Well, I'm on the air, but you know what I mean.
I played that on the air.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah.
You're at least one of the honest guys that'll call these people out for who they are. They're rising in every key position. And if you notice, they all have the same theme. Jesuit Marxist, Obama Marxist, head of the UN Marxist... UK is controlled by communitarian Marxists. It's the same ideology. And let's look at where this ideology comes from. Mordecai Levy.
Yep.
Mordecai Levy.
Grandson of like some high level rabbis, the Talmud. Yep.
There you go. There you go.
All right. See you guys on the other side of the break, folks. Last half hour coming up.
The Republic Broadcasting Network. I walked down my street, you see me home in the end, had a spray paint on the walls.
I see a house that at one time looked nice, but now it is abandoned and something like that. Alright, we're back. Incendiary Radio. And we got Tom Lacavera from Resurrector Republic, DirtyUncleSam.com. I just wanted to throw this
in. The RBN Statmiller Army.
That's right. So we've got, this just came out on the 15th, direct flights between Israel and Saudi Arabia kicks off as the Saudis looking for alliance with Israel to thwart Iranian threat. So we see up to this time, thousands of Arab businessmen had to travel through European or Turkish airports before transferring to flights destined for Tel Aviv, but Saudi Arabian Airlines declared Riyadh Tel Aviv commercial flights have been established since last Friday. The auspicious plan is being backed by Prime Minister Netanyahu as Tel Aviv aims to break its increasing regional isolation among its hostile, Saudi Arabia and Israel are hostile. That's funny. Arab neighbors have begun a new chapter with its former Arab adversaries. The two bed buddies from 9/11, Saudis supplied the patsies and the Israelis.
It's like watching a Halloween party, really. You might as well put them all in just different outfits, but they're the same entity.
There you go.
Lord.
Yeah. Okay. So Tom's going to let me run through some of this stuff real quick. Okay. Yep. So I wanted to get through this Turkey coup thing. Okay. So as of right now, Erdogan, and this is all over the place. He's locked up over 2,000 judges. He's doing this purge. Okay. The Incirlik Air Base, which is full of U.S. servicemen, 1,500 of them, they can't leave. They're quote unquote being held hostage. We've got American nukes on this base, folks. And so the Incirlik Air Base in Turkey is on lockdown. The Turkish got a bunch of our boys and a bunch of our nukes locked down over there. Okay. Now, I wanted to run through the various angles I'm seeing on this thing. Okay. Now this is the MillenniumReport.com. Turkey coup. Here's why they did it and who the real plotters are. Another Zio Anglo-American revolution in progress. The military coup d'etat was planned from afar by a Turkish religious scholar, Fethullah Gulen, living in Pennsylvania. Now this is the same. This is the same Gulen who runs about 150, or maybe it's 1,500 off the top of my head, charter schools getting paid by the government to run basically.
You sure this wasn't out of Langley? It was Pennsylvania?
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so this Fethullah Gulen, he's a CIA asset. But anyway, he used to be a heavy hitter in Turkish politics. He lives here in Pennsylvania. So they're saying that he was in on this kind of, thing here. Now, this is Shubat, Walid Shubat, okay? He's saying, Erdogan enters Istanbul as triumphant sultan, proving so far he is still the best candidate for being the Antichrist. Now, Shubat's an ex-Muslim, kind of Christian, Zionist, Vatican II, kind of Catholic. But anyway.
That guy is twisted soup.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he uses Rita Kotz and site intelligence and camera and memory for a lot of his intel. So a lot of it's bogus. But he's saying basically that, Erdogan, false flagged himself in order to consolidate power, to do a purge. Okay. Now, our friends over at Sorchafal and whatdoesitmean.com, which is outed as a kind of a disinformation center.
Yep.
But listen to this. A stunning Security Council report circulating the Kremlin today says that President Putin just completed telephone conversation with President Erdogan, the embattled Turkish leader, for saving his life and agreed to meet Putin in the next fortnight. Now look, I've been reading a lot of reports. Something happened with Erdogan, folks, where basically he flipped a 180, said he was sorry to Russia for shooting down their airliners. He's kind of buddied up to Assad now, and he met with Netanyahu all in the last few weeks, Erdogan did. So I think a good kind of angle to look at this thing with this coup in Turkey is maybe he pissed off some people over here at NATO and Langley and so forth because he basically started to buddy back up with Putin and basically made overtures to Assad, who they've been trying to overthrow forever. Okay. Now, Jim Dean over at Veterans Today, what's behind Turkish officers' attempt to stage a coup? It was a sad comedy of errors, an attempt by a small group of officers with rank and file troops thinking they could take over the country with 500,000, the rest of the military not with them. And so Tarpley and Webster Tarpley, this is Tarpley over here talking about Erdogan. Now they're saying, reports arrived of an attempted military coup by elements of the Turkish Army and Air Force. These units are acting to fulfill the landmark pledge of Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, crypto-Jewish Domna, by the way, to keep Turkey modern and secular and not let the country revert to the obscurantist nightmare of the late caliphate, which is exactly the project embodied by Erdogan's increasingly oppressive Islamist dictatorship. Erdogan has been exposed in previous editions of this briefing as the dominant figure behind ISIS, Daesh, ISIL, with the Turkish MIT secret police providing recruits, weapons, ammunition, spare parts, gasoline, evacuation for the wounded, and marketing of stolen oil. Erdogan's son and daughter are integral parts of the ISIS machine. And Erdogan's son was selling a lot of that ISIS oil stolen from Assad, Syria, on the black market. And so I kind of buy into this somewhat. Now let me get into Ian Greenlaw, and he's over there at Veterans Today too. Now he's saying the coup attempt is highly dubious and suspicious. He's basically trying to say that Erdogan false flagged himself to consolidate power, purge out those secular kind of elements that are very strong in Turkey under the auspices that these are the guys that tried to do a coup on him. Now, last but not least, Dr. Kevin Barrett of False Flag Weekly News, who I watch pretty religiously, he says it's a let it happen on purpose conspiracy. He basically says this, and he's a Muslim, keep this in mind. News of the bombing of the Turkish capital in Ankara, part of yesterday's failed coup attempt, brought back memories. 5 years ago, I had lunch in the same Turkish capital building with a leading parliamentarian, a supporter of Erdogan, and the Turkish equivalent of the FBI director. And basically, because he was a 9/11 truther and a Muslim, he was treated like royalty when he visited Turkey. My fellow American guests and I were escorted into the magnificent Turkish capital through a VIP entrance, so forth and so on. Now, he's saying this, Erdogan's Justice and Development Party, representing the majority of Turks who reject the Donma Jew pedophile Ataturk's legacy of brutally authoritarian forced secularism and cultural genocide, including the abolition of the Turkish written language, came to power in 2002. The triumph of the moderate democratic Islamic JDP terrified the Kemalist forces who conspired with the U.S. neocon Zionist 9/11 plotters to stage a 9/11 style event in Turkey to overthrow Erdogan. So basically, he's saying that it's the good kind of progressive Islamic elements that stopped the coup of the kind of Ataturk forces. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of angles on this. You know, to where I'm just trying to give the audience a bunch of the various angles out there. And here's the last angle. It's a clip. And this is Brandon Martinez at Non-Aligned Media. Mr. Producer, let's play the beginnings of clip 16.
So there was apparently some kind of military coup or an attempt at a military coup in Turkey recently. And this really shows the kind of disconnect in the thinking of many people who pontificate within alternative media or who consider themselves to be truthers, and they will rightly be against any kind of interference in the sovereign affairs of countries when it's the United States or the UK or Israel doing that. When it's a Western power or a Western aligned power, it's condemned wholesale, whole cloth, by these people in terms of interference within countries. Right, but look at this article here. It says, Putin threatening Turkish president, if necessary, we can stage a swift military coup d'etat against you. I will defeat you and your American master in Syria. Now, I don't know if this is a legitimate news story. This site seems kind of dubious. It quotes, allegedly quotes Putin saying, the Russian and Turkish armies have friendly ties, and if necessary, we can in Moscow stage a swift military coup against you until you desist from supporting violent terrorists in Syria. Now, whether the story is true or not, I think the point here is that many people are actually supporting things like this within the alternative media. They're saying that this is a good coup. This is like a good coup because the Turkish president Erdogan has aligned himself with NATO, has done interference within Syria, supporting terrorists within Syria and rebels in Syria, and certainly all those charges are true. Erdogan is.
You can stop it there. Okay.
Is a tyrant.
This is reminiscent of Iran, dude, in the '50s.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. So Brandon over at NotAlignedMedia.com, who I've interviewed before, he's saying that, look, man, Putin threatened a coup on Erdogan because Erdogan is one of the main players in ISIS, Daesh. You got Saudi Arabia, you got Israel, and you got Turkey, this axis of weasels in the Middle East that are trying to – they done overthrown Saddam. They've overthrown Gaddafi, and now they're trying to get to Assad, probably the best leader in the Middle East. And so this little axis of the Wahhabis, the Turks, and the freaking, and the Jewish supremacists, you gotta realize the Greater Israel Project. It's gotta eat up a bunch of Turkey.
I was gonna say that. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. And so, Northern Saudi Arabia, watch for them. The 28 pages full of redactions just got released. It was a big joke.
Ryan Dawson, who I believe that was his voice I just heard. Ryan Dawson.
That was Brandon Martinez.
Oh, was it? Okay. Ryan Dawson just released a piece on the 28 pages that he believes, that they've kind of disclosed a little bit more information than they probably should have, tying Israel to it. I recommend you check out his most recent clip on the 28 pages. Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is back to Greenlaw's article, and this is kind of where I'm at right now, and this is where I'm leaning. This was a very strange coup. There were no apparent leaders. No one came forward to make statements to the public or to try to garner support. Quite clearly, even during a coup, Erdogan's ego would not allow any criticism of himself or his regime. Who led the coup? We have no idea, as no one has came forward. This is a clear proof that the whole deal was a pantomime, a setup designed to bolster Erdogan's regime, and as it suffered a series of foreign policy failures. A real coup would have accused him of rigging elections, cozying up to Israel, accepting bribes from the Saudi monarchist, peddling ISIS's stolen oil in partnership with his son and Barzani, the Kurdish strongman, and most insidious of all, killing the golden goose by losing the EU visa deal due to Brexit. Now, listen to this. We have noted Erdogan's role in aiding the terror attacks in France, along with his partners Israel and Saudi Arabia, Charlie Hebdo, the Bataclan, now Nice, perhaps even the Nice attack itself. We aren't sure yet. His refugee game and his partnership with Merkel not only brought about Brexit, but will likely gut Turkey's greatest market, the EU, leaving it a broken and empty shell. What's with the apology to Russia? Oh, please, we weren't buying that one. Now listen to this. Israel modified 13 F-16s in 2013 to enable them to carry nukes. We expect that it was one of these F-16s that flew low over Ankara and dropped some sort of low-yield nuke on the parliament building because it was blown sky-high. In effect, that explosion was a flashbang designed to gather people's attention. No doubt it will be spun by the Erdogan regime for its own propaganda benefit in the coming days. And so... I don't know. I'm leading towards right now that Erdogan false flagged himself and, did it to basically destroy his opposition as people that were plotting his overthrow. And that's where I'm at right now. It could change.
I bet you he had help from Langley, brother.
Well, yeah. The one article says that Obama and this Fethullah Gulen character, who's a shadowy figure in American educational circles, that these two were trying to overthrow Erdogan because basically he was cozying back up to Russia and Assad and Syria. So it's a hard one to say, but the way he acted post-coup by rounding up over 2,000 judges and all these military guys, that it looks like he's either not letting a good crisis go to waste, or he did the thing himself, and it was just a big
coup. The coup was most probably to purge, like they said, those who stood against him politically. And this is identical, really, if you really look back to the Iranian coup in the 50s.
Operation Ajax. Yeah,
you got it. This is one of those where you have the intelligence communities, whether or not it's Mossad, MI6, CIA, whoever it is, the conglomerate of all three, who probably helped him orchestrate this to purge these people. Now look what happened to Iran for decades after that. They were under a brutal Stasi-esque regime of total control. And that was all implemented by our intelligence agencies.
Yeah, British Petroleum. They wanted to keep that oil flowing. Yeah, that was Mr. Pavli, the Shah of Iran, brutal guy.
Yes,
lived in the gold palaces, milked the people. And what's your thoughts on the reports that we read that the CIA actually brought Khomeini to power? Do you give that any weight?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. They need a religious leader like that, to assume that position. He makes a perfect villain.
You remember Ahmadinejad showing his old passport that came out that he had some Jewish, background in his old name.
But, you know, it doesn't completely surprise me, although what I've heard from, when I've heard from Ahmadinejad, now Sean Stone went over there and sat with him. Now keep in mind, you know, I understand what everybody feels about the people that are libertarian-ish. Some people feel that they're a little bit more left. But he said that he was straight up. I don't know. I don't know how to judge it.
Well, it's a very large Jewish community that likes living in Iran. So we'll see about that. We'll finish up on the other side of the break. Last few minutes. Show. I want to thank Tom for riding with me for 3 hours. I thought we covered a lot of ground, and appreciate you coming on, man. So let's talk. Let's round.
I love your show, brother. I love your show, brother.
Thanks. And so let's round it all up. Talk big picture. I mean, we both kind of have pessimistic viewpoints about the very near future, but. There's gotta be a lot.
Only in a manner of speaking, man. I still hold to my faith.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to totally just say, hey, everything's dark. It's just going to keep getting more evil. You know, look, they had this day of rage planned at everybody. And look, I think a lot of people are starting to figure out in all sectors that, hey, wait a minute. I mean, we see the worst of the worst. You know, even here in the alternative media, we see kind of the worst of the worst come out. But I think about it. There's a lot of people that are saying, hey, wait a minute. This is synthetic. This is artificial. This is orchestrated. I'm not going to be out here acting a fool, because if it really reached critical mass, all of our cities would just be in utter shambles right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. And. All I can say is that, you know, I've been trying to tell people to just kind of keep a low profile, prepare for the worst, and hope for the best. You know, I don't like to do the fear porn constantly like Jones does. Yes, my views are a little bit more pessimistic if you look at it, but, you know, really when it comes down to it, you know, I do have some faith. I have some faith out there that people aren't as stupid as they look. Maybe that's I don't know. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but you know, I do believe that humanity in the whole, as a whole, really, there a lot of amazing things have happened. We have stopped. Barack Obama wanted to go into Syria. There was no doubt, and he did so covertly, because he could not do so overtly, and he got snagged and caught with his pants down around his ankles for doing it. So, I mean, they're not getting away with the level and method by which they want to. So that at least means we're having some semblance of an effect.
Yeah, sort of like a fingers in the dike sort of thing.
Well, there's a whole other expression for that Marxists to love, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, here in St. Louis, we've got a radioactive meltdown going on in one of our dumps. We got Great. Fukushima. We've got the population control agenda. You think we're gonna see this mess, you know, cause gosh, if you get into some of this research, it's like, it seems like a lot of people are really going to start dropping dead if these people have their way. I know the human beings are resilient, but man, the multifaceted attack on every area of our lives, food, air, water, what's your thoughts on that? And we probably got about a minute.
Wow. That's a whole lot for a minute. Yeah. Silent wars for sure.
Yeah. Silent weapons for quiet wars. Yeah.
Well, yes. And that's, you know, that's one facet of it, but it's global now. And I really think that we need to continue to do exactly what we've been doing is just tell the truth. It will set you free. And I can only ultimately try and bring some people up out of this horror that they've created. And that's my goal. If I can reach out to a couple people, amen.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, you got to realize you can only do what you can do, and you got to let the rest of it be taken care of, you know, on its own. And that's why I think a lot of us are feeling the frustration. It's like, I'm not affecting enough change, but, you know, you got
to. Hey, man, that's what Margaritaville's about, bro. Sometimes you just have to have Margaritaville and soak in the sun and take in the best of it and recharge your batteries and then have at it again.
Yeah, I feel you. Thanks for being on the show, Tom.
Thank you, brother.
All right, man. I'll be in touch. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you got something out of it. Spread the show around. Thanks for everybody that does that. And hopefully we'll see you next week. And keep your eyes open on Cleveland. And could get ugly. Hopefully it doesn't. See you guys next week.
Public Broadcasting Network.